from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Happy Saturday. Welcome to 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy and Evan Giddings with you for the next 3 hours. We'll take you up until noon here as we do every Saturday morning on 95.7 The Game. Again, it's Mark Randy and Evan Giddings with you. We've got a lot to get to before the show is up. We'll talk about the NBA, Klay Thompson, his market potentially heating up. There's also some news around the NBA we should talk about. LeBron James has a new head coach. That's coming up a little bit later on as well. We will start with the San Francisco Giants. Evan, there is a little bit of news that we will get to that just broke within the last half hour or so. That's coming up very shortly. But first of all, Evan, happy Saturday. How you doing today on this Saturday morning?
Oh, I'm doing well, man. Fantastic. We got a lot of sports to get into. And really, I'm glad that in a way we can sort of get back to sports in a sense, because last week was about, you know, the honoring of arguably the greatest player of all time, Willie Mays, Rick Woodfield. It was a fantastic event. It was a powerful event. It was enlightening. It was entertaining. But it was also one that, you know, forces us to look back at the past. And now we can get back to the present and the future. So I'm happy to be rocking with you the next 3 hours.
Yeah, same. Awesome. Awesome week, really fun week of learning and introspection and just listening. And we can talk a little bit more about what that whole experience was like down in Birmingham, Alabama at Rickwood Field. The Giants and Cardinals played. They were off yesterday, and now they are in St. Louis gearing up for game two of that series, the first game in St. Louis, but game two of the series between the Giants and the Cardinals. It'll be Jordan Hicks against Miles Michaelis, turning into a really nice pitching matchup. We can talk a little bit more about the specifics of that coming up in just a little bit, Evan, but the breaking news that I alluded to off the top, there will be a familiar but new face with the Giants in St. Louis, because as of about a half hour ago, the Giants officially recalled outfielder Luis Matos from AAA Sacramento. He is joining the Giants in St. Louis for the game today. The corresponding roster move was that Mikey Yastrzemski goes on the IL with a left oblique strain. If you remember the game at Rickwood Field on Thursday, he left with what was called a side injury in the fourth inning. He has been put on the injured list. Luis Matos is back for Mike Yastrzemski. Also, Keaton Wynn goes on the IL with right elbow inflammation. It's his second elbow-related injury stint, and he has been really struggling when he's been pitching. David Villar, the third baseman infielder, he can kind of play in a number of places on the infield. He is also back with the Giants after, I don't think he's played with the Giants this year at all, but he's been up and down a number of times the last couple of years. But the headliner there, Evan, is Luis Matos, the outfielder who was a National League Player of the Week more than a month ago. He is back with the Giants now after really tearing the cover off the ball for a few weeks down in Sacramento.
Yeah, National League Player of the Week a couple weeks ago. Most recently, the PCL, Pacific Coast League Player of the Week. I think he hit 5 home runs last week. But really, I mean, thank God. I mean, I thank God that this guy's back up. And it's not like he's going to come up and all of a sudden just take the league by storm and he's going to guide the Giants to 10 wins in a row. But thank God, because it feels like there was something that left with him when he got sent down to AAA. And he was only hitting 222. He was in a bit of a slump. But that's something that's also common for a lot of young players. And it just felt like the moment he got sent down, there was kind of a reverberation back to, well, the norm, or, you know, the what once was. And the Giants have been pretty much up and down. Right now, they're, you know, down, four games below 500. And so why not? This kid can go get it in the outfield. If Yastrzemski's on the IL for a little bit, you know, give Matos a chance to prove that he belongs to stay. And so hopefully he's able to take the confidence that he built in AAA over the last couple of weeks, bring it back to the show, and ideally earn an actual spot. Because the one thing that frustrates me most about the Giants is that it doesn't feel like there's any juice behind any of their hitters right now. And the one thing that Matos did bring when he was swinging it well, I believe in the month of May, really, towards the end and then the beginning of June, was juice. And he's something that is exciting. He's somebody that is young and feels like the Giants could use to build around, a la Elliot Ramos. So I'm just glad we can kind of pair them back together and see what he's got, because at this point, you're only going in one direction, ideally, and that's up. But I think Matos can help with that.
Yeah, it was a little more than a month ago now, May 17th, May 18th, essentially the two-game stretch where he won National League Player of the Week by itself. He went 3-for-5 in one game with two doubles and five RBIs. And then the next game, the next night, he went 3-for-5 again with a double and six RBIs. So over two games, he had 11 RBIs. He had a homer as well in that game, three doubles and a home run. That was essentially all that he needed to win National League Player of the Week. But as you alluded to, after that, he did kind of struggle a little bit. His average dropped all the way down into the low 200s with the Giants. Low 224 is where he wrapped things up before he got sent back down. I think, honestly, I was a little concerned that when he got sent down, it was relatively obvious, and at least the reports backed this up, that he was a little bit frustrated and emotional and upset. He wanted to stay up here, and you want all of your guys, especially your young guys, to feel like they deserve to be up here and feel like they belong up here. But I was a little concerned, Evan, that he would feel that emotion. Maybe it would like eat at him a little bit while he was in AAA, and maybe he'd struggle as a result. And while it hasn't necessarily been the most consistent for him in AAA, because he similarly has had like a great stretch and has been just okay in the surrounding games, he seems like he's taken that demotion in stride, knowing that, all right, the quickest way to get right back up is just to stay focused and play my best baseball. And he's done that, and now he gets a chance to really prove once again that he deserves to stay up here, because without Yastrzemski, there's at least going to be an open outfield spot every time a righty pitches. Slater is probably still going to play against lefties, you would imagine. And then on the other side, on the left side of the outfield, Michael Conforto is like 4 for his last 50. So there's going to be plenty of room, I think, for Luis Matos to play most days and get an opportunity to prove that he belongs here. What I will say is, if he doesn't play most days, then this is a colossal failure, because the guy just needs ABs, and if he's not going to get them up here, I don't know what he's doing up here. But he should get those ABs pretty consistently.
Yeah, my biggest question is what he does with those at-bats, because one of the reasons I think he got sent down is because he wasn't able to provide, I guess, the necessity of the role that he was being used in, which was as a leadoff hitter, which also is something that I felt like was unfair to do to him in the first place. It was just kind of an addition by subtraction situation where he was the guy that was hot, and they kind of just moved him up in the lineup, because that was also around the time that I believe Lamont Wade went down. So they haven't had much in the middle of their order, and they've just been basically flip-flopping guys and riding hot hands.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the reason why Ramos is hitting second. He's been hitting very well, but because there was no one else to hit second at the time. So, you know, I think Matos, to me, how I would like to see him used is, you know, kind of in the rotation as a fourth outfielder. And then I would like to see him in the five spot or a lower. Like, I think that that's probably best for him at this point. I think they put him in a tough spot because he's kind of a swing-happy guy. He has good plate coverage, but there's not many pitches that he doesn't like. So he's going to go fishing. He's going to go chasing. And I think that's better suited for a player that's towards the bottom of the lineup than at the top. And then ideally, he can use whatever confidence he built in, albeit a hitter-friendly league in the Pacific Coast League, and ideally bring it back to the show. I just feel like the Giants are in need of some sort of injection of life, and I don't think it's a coincidence that around the time that he, along with Matos, got brought up at around the beginning or middle portion of May, that's when they started to streak. I think the young guys have been able to push the veterans when they've been given an opportunity, and hopefully that can happen again, because the Giants have not been playing great baseball, and even when they've been able to score runs, it feels like they've been falling behind. So, you know, it's and they're also, they got some good opponents coming up. I mean, St. Louis is playing as good as anybody in the NL right now, and then you're looking at Chicago, who's also, you know, in the hunt. They just beat you 2 out of 3. So, and obviously next week you got the Dodgers coming into town. So the Giants don't have a lot of easy games on their schedule. And at the very least, you might be able to learn something about a young piece that you can envision being a part of the future.
Yeah, this is an important time. And we can talk a little bit more later on in the show about the trade deadline, which is looming a little more than a month away now, and what we think the Giants should do and potential names that could be on the move and all of that. And we can get into that. But these next handful of weeks are important because it might determine exactly what the Giants think is worth trying to do at the trade deadline. So we can get into that in just a little bit here on 95.7 The Game. But Luis Matos is back for the San Francisco Giants. We do not yet have a lineup, I don't think. We can check that for you. Luis Matos is back with the team. Let me see if we do have a lineup just yet. We do have a Giants lineup.
And he's hitting ninth.
And Luis Matos, yep, playing right field and batting ninth. So Brett Wisely is leading off, then Ramos, that's expected. Patrick Bailey is third. Soler is DHing and cleaning up. Matt Chapman, Michael Conforto, Tyro Estrada. David Villar is in the lineup as well. He just got recalled from AAA Sacramento. He's playing first base for the Giants today. Luis Matos is batting ninth and playing right. It is Miles Michaelis, a right-handed pitcher for the Cardinals on the bump. So no Slater, no Wilmer Flores. That's why Villar is playing, or David Villar is playing first base for the San Francisco Giants in this one. But Luis Matos is back.
Does that surprise you a little bit, Grandy? The fact that he's in right as opposed to center field?
I think they've liked what they've seen from Ramos in center. They want to keep running him there, right? I mean, I know when they were both up earlier, they gave Matos center, kind of like the right of first refusal, and they banished Matos to a side outfield spot, generally left field, because that was when Conforto was also hurt. But since Matos got sent down, Ramos has kind of taken over center. I mean, I don't know how you feel. I feel like he's been a plus outfielder in center, so why change a good thing, you know?
No, he's been good. I feel like, originally he was more of a corner guy, and with Yaz going down, I know Melvin was pretty hesitant to move him from right to center, so maybe Matos is just filling that spot. But I don't know, I just think it's interesting. I mean, Matos has been playing pretty much, if not exclusively, center field when he was up last, but I mean, that's Ramos' spot for the future.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing is, when you are at Oracle Park, right field is a very important defensive portion of the outfield because you got the bricks, and that's why Yastrzemski, despite maybe the struggles offensively, has always locked down right field because he plays that right field as good as anyone I've ever seen play right field. So we'll see if that is Matos's position potentially versus righties, even when the Giants are at home, and we'll see how he is able to play that right field for the San Francisco Giants. But Luis Matos is back. He's in the lineup. He is batting ninth for the Giants today in St. Louis against the Cardinals. It's Jordan Hicks and Miles Michael is coming up here later on today. But Matos is back. Giants fans, how does that make you feel? And should he be your everyday right fielder? You're probably going to see some Austin Slater. Should he get some run in left? Conforto is really struggling. What do the Giants do there? You can give us a call and let us know. It's Mark Randy and Evan Giddings with you here on Saturdays on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570. That's also the Xfinity mobile text line. Again, 888-957-9570. You talk about, Evan, what happened the last time these young guys were up, and less so for Ramos because he has stayed up. But for Matos, he came up, and it was, of course, after Jung Hoo Lee went down and then Michael Conforto was down. You still had Yaz in right field, so you had some openings. And then you got healthier, and these guys started, trickling back down to the minors, specifically Luis Matos. You look at what Michael Conforto is doing now, Evan, and he was great right before he got hurt. In the month of June, 15 games, essentially since he came back, 15 games, 12 of them are starts. He is 4-for-51 with a .078 batting average. His on-base percentage is .161, and he's slugging .157. His OPS is .318. In 51 at-bats, it's not a giant sample size, but it's not an entirely tiny one either. Michael Conforto is really struggling, and you might get to a point, Evan, where if those struggles continue, maybe Luis Matos is playing in left field over Michael Conforto some games. I know that he's a veteran, and he has a much longer leash, but it has been a tough watch, Michael Conforto, of late.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's also a little symbolic of the Giants. I mean, they've been a little bit of a tough watch lately. I think that he's also kind of emblematic of their larger issues, which is they have too many underperforming locks. Like, they have too many guys that are
penciled in every day.
Exactly, because yeah. You have to play them.
Like, Soler and...
And it's partially because... Well, you're just hoping that they're going to regress to the mean. Like, you're hoping
them,
that they're
going
to... Well, you are you are paying them.
You got to play them, basically.
You don't have to play them, but it's like, okay, so if Conforto is... Let's see, he's hitting, what, .227 right now? Matos is hitting .224. Matos is a better defensive player, certainly, than Conforto is, but if you're telling me that the offense is around the same, then the nod's going to go to the veteran. And so there just doesn't seem to be enough willingness, and it's understandable, to kind of usher in whatever new wave you're feeling. Like, I think that Melvin is handicapped right now between this underperforming set of veterans and these unproven up and down young players, outside of Ramos, of course. He's the outlier. So while you're trying to wait for guys to come back, and they got a bunch of guys on the IL, I think north of 10 now, especially with Wynn going back, along with Yaz, you know, you're still waiting for Lamont to come back. You're obviously now going to be waiting for Yaz. I mean, it's like right now there's nothing concrete, there's nothing established about them that, for example, if we're watching today, you know what you're going to get outside of, again, Ramos. But even he, there might be some out there that would say, well, he's 24 years old, he's playing well right now, but let's see him do it for a whole season. So the most exciting part of the team is still technically unproven. And as much as I do love watching Ramos hit and play, apparently, center field today, I still have a little bit of doubt just because it's his first full season. Outside of everybody else, I mean, you should have faith in your Chapmans, your Solares, your Confortos, but those guys are all underperforming. Even Chapman has come back to earth. I think his OPS has dipped below 700. So all of those guys have not been able to do enough, but they also haven't been so bad that you can just dispose of them completely. And so the Giants right now, I think, are kind of anchored down by a lot of guys that just have hit below their averages, that are playing below their averages, and shocker, the Giants are below 500. So right now, they're kind of beholden to these veterans that just haven't carried their weight.
Yeah, and they have been struggling recently. It's no surprise, no coincidence, that when the veterans struggle, the team has struggled, because you can't just rely all on Elliot Ramos and expect Luis Matos to come up here and be National League Player of the Week again. And the pitching staff is a mess right now. Not because anyone is particularly pitching poorly, although Keaton Wynn has had a really rough stretch, but because so many guys are hurt. You talked about Lamont Wade Jr. not back yet. They desperately need him back, although there is a little bit of good news if you are a Giants fan, because there will be some big names rehabbing with the Rivercats this weekend, and maybe if you're in the area, you should stop by a Rivercats game, because tomorrow, Lamont Wade Jr., Robbie Ray, and Blake Snell will all be rehabbing there. Snell is going to start, and Robbie Ray will throw three innings. Lamont Wade will be in the game for at least a portion. At least that is the plan. So, Lamont Wade Jr., Robbie Ray, and Blake Snell all in Sacramento, and all are expected to play tomorrow. So reinforcements, you would hope, fingers crossed, knock on wood, are on the way. Those three guys have worked their way back up to AAA for some rehab action. But even with those guys back, you're not sure exactly what you're going to get. And this is a comment pulled from our YouTube chat powered by First NorCal Credit Union from Mickey D. The Giants are out of ideas, just bouncing guys up and down. I think that's specifically directed towards the Luis Matos situation.
It's kind of what it feels like.
It is. And my question to you and to Giants fans, 888-957-9570, I think I know what most of us want to happen. We want Matos to take this opportunity and never let it go, you know, come out and hit 330 for a week and steal a base or two and make a nice play in right field and draw some walks and limit the strikeouts and prove to Farhan and to Bob Melvin and to everybody involved in these decisions that he deserves to stay up here. But what happens when Mike Yastrzemski is healthy again? Right field is going to be his. We know that. Is Michael Conforto going to continue to hit 4 for 51? Even if he struggles, say he hits 220 while Ramos is hitting 3 or while Matos is hitting 300, is that enough for the Giants to say, all right, we're going to bench Conforto, we're going to play Matos in left field, and we're going to keep you up here, young guy? Or is he just going to get sent right back down when Yastrzemski is healthy? Because to me, Evan, unless he goes absolutely nuclear and Conforto continues to hit less than 100, when Yastrzemski's back, Matos is getting sent right back down, right?
Probably, but the other part of it, too, is you just have, again, these veterans that, like, you're not going to DFA Conforto. You're not going to even DFA Austin Slater.
No.
You're not DFAing any of these guys, and that's the only way that you can kind of move them around to create room for Matos. So he is going to be a sacrificial lamb this season, it appears, between, you know, essentially he's just going to run up I-80 and back between Sacramento and San Francisco. The bigger problem that I have is The leash that I feel like should be afforded to some of these younger players is not long enough. Like, I think someone like Tyler Fitzgerald was probably taking a roster spot just because he checks a lot of boxes. And
yeah,
for a team or for a franchise in front office that doesn't, at least to me, Mark, appear to have much of a direction, it is a bit confusing that they have so many players that can do a ton of things. Like, they have a ton of master of nones, and that has not really gotten them anywhere. And so I'm not saying you just call up a guy because you're playing bad and, well, let's just go and see a new thing. But my point is, okay, so if Fitzgerald's supposed to be a utility guy, but you're not able to utilize him for much of anything, especially at the plate. Slater, to some extent, although he's kind of locked in as a guy that's going to play against lefties, and to be fair, he has been hitting a little bit better lately.
Yeah, he has, to his credit.
Matos, to me, needs one of those spots, because I also feel like, and what we've seen with him is he's a streaky player. Like, young players are streaky. Young players are rhythmic players. That's one of the reasons why it's hard to ride him for an entire season, but it also means you need to give him longer than a couple weeks. Like, Matos, after he won Player of the Week, you know, he's like 6 for 50 over the course of 2.5-3 weeks. He wasn't playing very well.
Essentially, the stretch that Conforto has had right now.
Exactly. But Conforto is going to get at least another 2 weeks, mm-hmm. if not a month, to dig himself out of it. And he gets the benefit of the doubt. There's not enough spots right now on the roster to afford the young players benefits of the doubt. And that's frustrating to fans, because there seems to be all these average or mediocre veterans that do get that leash.
Yeah. Like, it would be one thing if there was injuries that allowed room for Matos to come in and play regularly. But then right when Conforto or Yaz or whoever comes back suddenly is, you know, hitting a home run every third game and it's hitting 280 instead of hitting below 100. Like, that makes the decision so much more easier and understandable. But when the, like, you know, when you deal with making one decision versus the other, it's not just like, what are you gaining from that one decision? It's what are you losing elsewhere? Like, the opportunity cost. Like, what are you losing? And half of it is, how is Matos playing? But of course, the other half is, how is the other guy playing? And it seems a little bit unfair to Luis Matos, and you can understand why he would be frustrated going up and down, as you were talking about, racking up those miles, driving from, you know, Sacramento back to the Bay Area every couple of weeks.
Gas is expensive.
It is expensive. And it's, you know, it could be a frustrating drive as well. You're stuck in traffic around Vacaville if you leave at the wrong time. Like, it's not an easy drive to make all the time. I'm sure some of our listeners know that and maybe are driving it right now. Stay safe out there. But if you're Matos, it's frustrating. But if you're the Giants, you're kind of stuck with no other choice. Like, what else are the Giants supposed to do? Maybe a solution comes, and we can talk more about this on the other side, Evan. Maybe a solution comes at the trade deadline, because you kind of are in a situation where you really want Matos to succeed and you want to give him the runway he deserves, and that a young guy needs to get comfortable at the big league level and to figure things out. But you, when everybody is healthy, there's just simply not space for him. Maybe you make a trade, and you know, we can talk more about buying versus selling later if you want. Maybe you make a trade not with the idea of either buying or selling, but with the idea of just allowing there to be enough space for someone like Luis Matos to play well and to have enough time. But then you open yourself up to the possibility of him really struggling again, and you're left with no one of any good playing left field or right field.
Doesn't this sound an awful lot like the conversation we had at the NBA trade deadline about the Golden State Warriors?
Too many guys for too few spots.
Well, we got 12 guys, but we can't play all of them.
It's just a math problem. So many minutes to go around. For the Giants, just so many innings to go around.
We just got a lot of fives on the roster, and we're trying to figure out how to fit all the fives in. But you only got so many puzzle pieces, and the puzzle looks like it's just eroding around the edges. Like, I feel bad for Bob Melvin, because it feels like no matter what lever he pulls, it's going to be the wrong one. And at the end of the day, your record is kind of reflective of the state of your roster, which is banged up, which is underperforming. And so hopefully, like, the best news I heard, I mean, Matos coming up is good. You know, I'm happy to have him back, and I can't wait to see what he does with, you know, his second, ideally, long stint this year, if Yaz is indeed going to miss a decent amount of time. But I'm more happy to hear that you are getting Snell, Ray, Lamont back. Because again, Grandy, as much as I do appreciate what these young guys have given to the team, specifically Ramos, this season is and was always, in my opinion, going to be decided by the offseason signings and your veterans. And if they're not performing, this team is just not going to be very good. And I think that's what people don't believe in the most, is that we've been sold this bill of goods that these players are all of a sudden going to regress back. Conforto, after a couple of poor seasons, going to hit better. He did, but then he got hurt. Soler's going to bounce back. Chapman's going to bounce back. We're waiting for these guys all collectively to bounce back, and it's almost July. So when are they going to bounce back? I think there's a lot of urgency surrounding these rehab assignments.
Yeah, and then you got to look at the standings and as well and kind of figure out what is this team even capable of and what move is even worth making. It's still early, and there's a lot of time before the trade deadline. We can talk more about that on the other side. You were talking about Bob Melvin and pulling levers and it feeling like the wrong lever. You know the movie The Emperor's New Groove?
Shout out Cusco.
Yeah. Pull the lever, Kronk! Not the wrong lever. She goes crashing down through the bowels of the temple or whatever that was. It's just, that's Bob Melvin right now. He's pulling the wrong levers, and it's not through any fault of his own. It's just there's so many levers to choose from on any given day.
Well, the Giants need a new groove, that's for sure.
They do need a new groove. Maybe they can get off to one today. They were a day off yesterday, flying from Birmingham, Alabama, back up to St. Louis. They'll take on the Cardinals later on today. Jordan Hicks against Miles Michaelis. We can talk more about that. Luis Matos is back. I want to ask Evan about Matos as well, and what is a fair opportunity for a young guy. You can also join the show, 888-957-9570. It's Mark Grandy and Evan Giddings with you. Saturdays on The Game continues next on 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Good cutting, Randy.
The game.
Welcome back as Saturdays on the game continue. Mark, Randy, and Evan Giddings with you from 9 until noon, so 2.5 more hours. Just getting started talking some San Francisco Giants baseball as they prepare for game 2 of their series versus the Cardinals, game number 1 in St. Louis. They were in Birmingham, Alabama at Rickwood Field for what was a really awesome event, remembering the Negro Leagues and all the players that played in that league and what they had to go through in that area of the country and that time in this country's history. Learned so much from that whole experience. Obviously, it was honoring the great Willie Mays, who passed tragically just 2 days prior to the event. But an awesome experience for all who was down there. Everyone that we talked to here on 95.7 The Game said MLB and Rickwood Field and Birmingham hit it out of the park. We can talk more about what it all meant later on during the show. But the Giants gearing up for an important game today, Giants-Cardinals in St. Louis after the Giants fell to the Cardinals in that Rickwood Field game a couple of days ago. Jordan Hicks takes the ball today against Miles Michaelis for the Cardinals. Should be a good pitching matchup. But the news of the day so far is that Luis Matos is back. Evan, I want to talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit. And you were talking about where the Giants hit him in the order and how that is fair to him or not. He is hitting ninth today. It's a good sign. We can get back to that in just a little bit. But first, let's go out to the phone lines here on a Saturday on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. Up first is Gary in San Ramon. Gary, I know you want to talk about something other than hitting, which is probably a problem in and of itself, but there are some other issues this Giants team is also facing. Is that right, Gary?
Yeah, good morning. Hey, great show, guys, as always. Just a brief comment on Matos. So losing Yastrzemski just from the defensive end of it, that's not a win, because Matos has yet to be proven that he's a great defender. And if he's going to play right in Oracle, that's a problem. So the other issues, this team is supposed to be built on pitching and defense, especially with the park that they play in. Let's go to the pitching first. The to staff ERA is 4.43, I believe it is. And last year, just comparing it, was 4.08, which put them 11th overall. This year, they ranked 25th. Looking back at the pitching coach, and not to put the blame on him, but Brian Price has had a less than distinguished career, especially as a manager. I remember that profanity-laced tirade he made on after one of the games when he was managing Cincinnati. So that's part of the problem. The other issue, the defensive efficiency, we're near the bottom. And once again, we're making a lot of errors. And the Chapman statistics are frankly alarming. He's already made 10 errors, and look at what he's not hitting. He's got 20 games. He's got more errors than he's got RBIs. So there's a lot of issues there, guys, but appreciate what you're doing, and I'll take my answer.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Gary. And I think you're absolutely right. We spend so much time talking about the young guys and who's getting sent up and who's getting sent down, and is there going to be enough time and enough at-bats for Luis Matos or so-and-so or Luciano when he was healthy, and Ramos. The Ramos situation has figured itself out. He's been good for long enough now that we feel like he's safe at the big league level. But that's been so much of the conversation that it has kind of maybe taken away from the defensive side of things for sure. Obviously, the pitching has been an issue. I am not as concerned about the pitching in terms of what the team is capable of, because there is so much on the injured list right now, Evan. But there's no doubt that the Giants have been struggling for quite a while, not only trying to put up zeros, but just finding arms to throw innings for them, because so many innings are on the injured list. They have been struggling big time to find anyone who can even throw any kind of consistent, like, the number of guys not named Logan Webb that have gone 6+ innings this year is absolutely staggering.
Yeah, and one of them pitching today, Jordan Hicks, is not going to change that. I mean, he's not a guy that's going to go deep into ball games. But I do think that Gary brings up a good point about the pitching. It's not just that it's been underperforming, or, you know, I think it's been kept out of the limelight by the lack of energy and excitement in the lineup. But the pitching's been bad this year.
It's like a bottom five staff as a whole.
They're 25th in ERA.
Yeah.
And their starting pitching has not been much better than their bullpen, or vice versa. It seems like they kind of flip-flop. Either the bullpen has a tough stretch, or the starting pitching has a tough stretch, and they can't seem to get on the same page. You could attribute that to injury, which is why, again, I think the thing, or the news that excites me the most from this weekend, is hearing about Blake Snell and Robbie Ray coming back, because it will bolster your starting rotation.
They're both
ideally
expected to throw in Sacramento tomorrow.
But your pitching has to be better, because I don't know what the ceiling is for this offense. I think they can perform better. Individuals like Soler, he's been underperforming. I think Chapman has underperformed so far this season. Veterans like that in the middle of your order can get better, and ideally someone like Matos can provide a little bit of a spark towards the bottom of the order getting called up. But your pitching has to lead the way, because the caller's absolutely right. This is a team that is always and has been built on its pitching staff. And if you don't have guys, number one, that are going deep but are able to get guys out that are able to help you play from ahead, well, then you're in big trouble. You cannot have a bottom five staff if you play at Oracle Park. You cannot do it. And I know the home and road splits have been a little bit different, but if you're going to be giving up more than four runs a game, I hate to break it to you, this Giants offense is not going to be able to win you a lot of those. And if they do, they're probably late, some spectacular comebacks. But as we've seen, those only take you so far. You have to be able to win series. In my opinion, they're not going to be able to do that with their pitching staff giving up as much as they have.
Yeah, and I can just ask you this question and all of our listeners, 888-957-9570. That's the number to call. It's also the Xfinity mobile text line. If you had to pick one area, you know, one side of the baseball, one area that this team is struggling in right now, what is the most concerning? Is it pitching or is it the offense? And I guess, you know, to our caller's point, to Gary's point, I could throw in defense as well, though I'm sure that no one is going to pick that over the issues that the offense and the pitching staff are facing right now. What's the bigger concern, the pitching or the offense? I guess the way I would answer that, Evan, is if we didn't think that there were reinforcements coming, it would no doubt be the pitching staff. But because you feel like you do have some decent arms that are on the way back and are expected back at some point relatively soon, again, Robbie Ray and Blake Snell expected to pitch tomorrow in Sacramento in a rehab game at AAA. That's good news. But if But even with that said, you are relying, and I see it here on our YouTube chat right now on 95.7 The Game, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. It's again Mickey D. I'm almost agreeing with everything I see Mickey D say right now. Having to count on two guys coming back from injury, plus a guy who's been on the IL two times, it does not bode well. And it's kind of the issue I've had with a number of Giants fans and talking heads all season who have talked about, well, just wait until this team gets healthy. Just wait. Wait until they get healthy. Why are we so convinced that, you know, Alex Cobb is going to suddenly look like the all-star he was last year again? Robbie Ray was a Cy Young winner a handful of seasons ago now in the American League, but ever since then hasn't really been that great and is coming off of Tommy John. Like, and Blake Snell is Blake Snell, probably the guy I'm most confident in that can be good, just considering he has a larger track record of success, although this season has been very bad. But still, you know, the promise of this pitching staff when healthy, it's not a promise. It is very much in doubt, even if these guys all get healthy.
Well, I don't think the idea of Cobb by himself is all that sexy, but if Alex Cobb is your fourth or fifth starter,
that's pretty decent.
That's good. And like, I think this, there's been a, you know, kind of a romanticizing of the staff at full strength of what it all looks like together. The issue is they've really only had two or three guys of the five healthy at one time. I guess of the six, honestly, because it's Snell, you know, Harrison, Webb, Hicks, and then Cobb and Ray. So Hicks might be the odd man out just because he's been in the bullpen before. But if you really wanted to, you could have, like, that's a damn good six man rotation if you wanted to use it.
Probably six best starters in, might be six best starters in baseball, honestly, if they're all healthy.
Especially, I mean, if they're pitching at Oracle. Yes.
Really good.
But the problem is,
they just haven't been healthy.
I also think that there's a little bit of a reason why they were able to, you know, acquire some of these pieces, because, I mean, let's be honest, the Giants haven't been a massive free agent destination in general. Pitchers more so, perhaps, than position players. Mm-hmm. You know, Gausman, obviously, Rodon, and then now Snell. But I think one of the reasons they're able to get some of these pieces is because they do have some flaws. Like, there's something that is a wild card about all of them. For Snell, it hasn't always been health, but it's been, well, can he get deep into a game? And he's going to be not so great at the beginning of seasons because he pitches himself into shape. For Ray, it's because he's coming off of TJ. Cobb's a little bit different because you already had him, but he was also somebody that is a little bit of a project throughout his career if you kind of read between the lines. So I think the Giants have a lot of interesting pieces, but they can't seem to get them on the board at the same time from a pitching staff standpoint. So you also can't necessarily, I think, will yourself into trying to address it via the trade market or not, because the whole point is that you're dependent on these five or six guys being healthy at the same time. I think it might have been a little bit of fool's gold to believe that they could all be healthy at the same time, but if that is your strategy, then you kind of have to just lean into it and pray to God that these guys can get on the mound. So hopefully, even when they come back, they're able to stay healthy, because as we've seen with Snell, it's not just getting him back from injury or getting him into shape. It's also keeping him there that's been an issue.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so funny how we sell some of these guys. Like, we the Giants acquire someone, and you kind of pick and choose, like, the good. And it's relatively easy with Snell. Like, he's won multiple Cy Youngs, and he's had some incredible seasons. But there's also a lot that it kind of sends off, like, alarms in your mind when looking at Blake Snell and his career. And he's had some bad years. He's had some very rough stretches, and he's certainly in one right now. Generally speaking, the first couple of months of each season, he struggles. It is like that this year, but, like, times 10, because he hasn't had spring training. But how we sell these guys, well, you've got Logan Webb, who was second in the Cy Young voting last year, and that's fine. Logan Webb is one of the best pitchers in the National League, and I'm not trying to make light of what he's accomplished. He's awesome, and he's probably this team's best player, like, all the way around, offense, defense, pitch, whatever. Like, he's he's the guy on this team, specifically in the pitching staff. But we can poke holes in Blake Snell, but when we're talking about the promise of the pitching staff, we only mention how he's won two Cy Youngs. We do the same thing with Robbie Ray. He won a Cy Young when he was in Toronto back in 2021. The year before that, he had an ERA of nearly over 6.5. Last year, or 2 years ago, the last year he pitched a full season, his ERA was 3.7. Not bad at all, but not like Cy Young All-Star caliber. He's had ERAs in the fours before in his career. Like, this is a guy who's had one elite season, a couple of other decent seasons, and that's about it. And now he's coming off of the first major injury in his Major League Baseball career. So you don't know how he's going to bounce back. And Jordan Hicks, as you said, he's been awesome, but when was the last time he pitched into the sixth inning? Like, it doesn't happen anymore, whether it's because he's been dealing with an illness. It's happened a couple of times over the last month, but he's also approaching a career high in innings pitched already, and it's only June because this is the first year he's been a full-time starter. How is he going to look when you get into August? Is he going to be able to continue to take the ball every fifth day and give you 5+ innings? He's been great, and it's not a knock on Jordan Hicks. I mean, he's been their second best pitcher all season long, mostly because he's just been healthy all season long. That's really the only line, the only bar you have to clear to be one of the Giants' better pitchers, is you've been available basically every fifth day. But you can poke holes in nearly everybody, not even mentioning Kyle Harrison, who rolled an ankle doing squats. He's young, he'll bounce back, but it's a pretty gnarly injury. The only guy that you can't poke holes in, Evan, is Logan Webb. Everybody else has questions around them.
No, he's given you everything, and Logan Webb, I think, will be in the Cy Young conversation again this year, no matter how good or bad the Giants are, because he gets outs. Like, that's something that not a ton of pitchers can do beyond the fifth or sixth inning. Like, Blake Snell the last 2 years has gotten 15 outs after the sixth inning.
That's an incredible stat.
He's a Cy Young winner.
That's insane.
He's gotten 15 outs the last 2 years beyond the sixth. He hasn't gone into the eighth inning of a game in 3 years. So these were things that we knew about him coming in, even off of one of the best statistical seasons in recent memory last year. I mean, he was fantastic with the Padres. But that means that you're going to have to depend a little more on your bullpen with some of these guys. And as we've seen, the Giants' bullpen is not performing very well and has not been necessarily great. I mean, Camilo Duval on line one, he has not been as effective this season. And so when the Giants are naturally going to be in a lot more close games, because they're not a team that's going to light up the scoreboard, specifically at home, well, then you need your bullpen to be dominant. And their bullpen, number one, has not been dominant, but I don't think there's many dominant arms. And so that's why I always felt like Jordan Hicks eventually was going to slide back into the bullpen. Number one, because I think it would also help kind of extend him. Like, I'm just not sure that to go from a closing role to a starter, that throwing 150 to 180 innings your first full season is going to be something that arm can handle. So I think that would allow him to perform better. Like, if you notice, his velocity's come down a little bit last five starts. He's been getting hit around a lot more. There's been a little more walks than at the start of the season. Like, he was supremely dominant the first, probably eight starts of the season, and since then he's kind of tapered off. I do think it's because he's probably wearing a little bit, and that's what's going to happen when you have to go a full season of innings for the first time, no matter where you are in your career. You could be young, you could be old, but it's going to happen. So that's another reason why, getting these starters back is important, because then that allows you to move one of those six guys, whoever you deem, back to the bullpen, where I think they need the most help right now, because apparently you don't have enough starters that can get out of the sixth or can get out of the fifth inning sometimes. So that means you need more from your bullpen, and they have eaten so many damn innings this year. I think they're in the top three total for the year, and that's not necessarily a good stat to be leading. No. You don't want your bullpen to be throwing just as many innings as your starters.
No, that's the recipe for disaster. It's kind of what happened last year, and it's a big reason why the Giants, who this stage last year, it was much brighter, and it was much more I don't know if confident is the right word, because I certainly wasn't confident, although the fact that they were like 10 games over 500 was amazing, considering the talent on their roster. There's no doubt they're more talented this year, but they were a better team just based on a record a year ago. But you could kind of see the writing on the wall, because much like this year, they had a number of trends that were kind of disturbing, and it was number of innings that the bullpen was having to take. And last year it was more a result of you just don't have starters, as opposed to your starters are hurt like this year. But it was all going to come to a head at some point, and it did. And the dog days last year were extremely unkind to the Giants, and they fell quickly in the standings and ultimately missed the postseason. But going back to Blake Snell, I don't know if you follow Trevor May on social media, Evan, but former
A's legend.
Former A, yeah, pitched there last year. Longtime Minnesota Twin, and he was a Met as well. He's kind of turned into a media guy talking about baseball and breaking it all down, and he recently posted about Blake Snell, and he's breaking down all the numbers on his pitches and how fast he's throwing, MPHs, and is he locating it, and is he spotting it. And essentially what Trevor May said was Blake Snell's issue so far is his off-speed pitches. He just simply cannot put it over the plate. He cannot spot it. He cannot locate his off-speed pitches. So what opponents are doing, what hitters are doing, Evan, instead of, you know, having to discern whether it's off speed or it's the fastball or whatever it is, they just look fastball over the plate, because they know that if they're going to get the curveball, if they're going to get the slider or whatever it is, they don't have to swing at it. He's not putting it over the plate consistently enough that whenever he's throwing off speed, the hitters are taking. And it's an easy take, because you don't see the hard stuff, you don't swing, you don't see it over the plate, you don't swing. And then you get ahead in the count because he has not been able to spot those pitches in the zone. And then you wait for the fastball in the middle. You take a hack and you hit it a long way. And that's been the issue for Blake Snell. Now, Blake Snell saw the post and responded to Trevor May and said, quote, "It's me not having a spring training. I've pitched in six big league games, been learning through the season, and have been hurt twice trying to come back early. Therefore, my command has been bad, still building my pitches. I'll be good soon, though, exclamation point."
Yeah, but I think he will be. And it sucks that he, excuse me, did get hurt against the Yankees, because I do think what Trevor May was talking about is also what Blake Snell corrected in that start.
Maybe
I know he got lit up by Soto.
Probably.
But against that lineup, what he was doing looked like something that he was going to build upon and something that could become a little more of a norm.
He was about to finish.
He got hurt.
He was about to finish five innings for the first time all year.
Yeah, I mean, he still technically could have gotten out of that inning before he got hurt.
Yes.
But I think he walked the guy, neither here nor there, because he's on the shelf. But the thing with Snell is also, too, like he doesn't, or at least he hasn't yet gotten ahead with the fastball enough. So a lot of his fastballs are challenge. And yeah, he's not throwing enough off-speed pitches for strikes, but they're also, they haven't been as effective. Like last year, his curveball was the best pitch in baseball. Like it was, teams hit like less than 100 off of his curveball. You could not get a hit off of that pitch. This year, he can't get to that pitch because he's not ahead often in counts. And if you're going to try, I mean, Blake Snell isn't a guy that I think really needs to pitch backwards, but he also hasn't shown an ability to do that either. You know, essentially throwing breaking balls and, you know, hitters counts and all the rest, because he's got a 98 mile an hour fastball. He just hasn't been able to get ahead enough for me to the point where that slider and curveball, no matter if he's throwing it for strikes or not, are effective, because everything tunnels off the fastball for Snell, for a lot of pitchers, but specifically for Snell. He doesn't really throw much of a changeup. He's primarily fastball, slider, curveball. And when the fastball is located properly in the zone, specifically up in the zone, well, then you can throw the curveball over you damn well please, because it looks exactly like a 95-mile-an-hour heater. That is what I saw against the Yankees more so than any other start, even a little bit against the Phillies. Like, there was one at-bat he had against Harper where he struck him out on three pitches, and it was fastball challenge, challenge fastball. Harper fouled both of them off, and he throws a slider in the other batter's box, and Harper swings right through it because he's looking for the heater. Those are the kind of at-bats that I feel like Snell was building on, but unfortunately got hurt. So when Snell responds to someone like Trevor May and is talking about spring training, I think he's also talking about the fact that, like, I'm close to getting to where I need to be. I just haven't been able to do it yet because effectively, this is my practice. Like, this is my ramp up. This is my warm up. And I expect a lot better from Blake Snell.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, it's not surprising that, you know, spring training is important, and there's a reason why it's like over a month long for most people. Like, it's it allows you to get ready for the season, and it's got to be hard to learn on the job. And you can try to simulate spring training all you want, but as Snell has talked about, you can't simulate like hitting against live batters that are of major league quality. And I think, you know, Snell's season, and maybe to a lesser degree Jordan Montgomery's season, who also signed late in the offseason into spring training with the Diamondbacks, he hasn't been great, but not terrible. I think these are two big arguments for the importance of spring training. However, something that Snell said there, and we got a break in a minute, we can get into it more on the other side. He said, quote, "I've been hurt twice trying to come back early." Does that mean anything to you? Come back? Is he coming back a little too early? Is that what he's saying? He wasn't fully ready and he tried to push it, and as a result, he got hurt again?
Well, you can make a case he's tried to come back too quickly because he didn't have spring training. Like, I mean, so you're trying to pitch yourself into shape. You have like 2 or 3 months if you are at the beginning, if you report at the beginning of spring training for pitchers and catchers, you have roughly 2.5 months. Well, look at the date from opening day. It's been about 2.5 months. So that's the amount of time that it takes to get your body into shape, into proper shape, and that's what he didn't have because, well, to be fair to the Giants, he didn't want to sign with them initially and then eventually came around.
Yeah. Same with Jordan Montgomery, and Jordan Montgomery hasn't gotten hurt, and maybe he's been able to learn a little bit more as the season has gone on, but this quote-unquote spring training, which has happened in the first couple of months of the season for Blake Snell, has been interrupted by a couple of groin injuries. We do expect him back relatively soon. He is starting, or slated to start tomorrow in Sacramento for the Giants in AAA. All right, time for a break here on 95.7 The Game. We can talk more about that. What's the bigger issue for the Giants? Is it the pitching staff, or is it the bats? Plus, what should the Giants do at the trade deadline? We can talk more about that as well. And we got a little bit more to get into about Luis Matos, who is back with the big club and batting ninth today and playing right field for the injured Mike Yastrzemski. It's Evan Giddings and Mark Randy with you on a Saturday on 95.7 The Game. More coming up next right after this on 95.7 The Game.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.